turn now to the scripture lesson for today. Book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." When I was in the military, I would never hesitate to take a road trip. I just wanted to see more people and places and different things, and whoever was going, wherever they were going, I'd say, "Can I come? I'll drive. I'll pay for gas." So I ended up going lots of places, and one particular time I was driving through Texas, and I came upon a church that was just gigantic, and it had the biggest marquee I had ever seen. And on that marquee it said, "The Mid-Tribulation Premillennial Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Christ." And I said, "That is quite a name for a church." And I also realized at that moment, I had no idea what that meant. As I came to understand it, it was all about the book of Revelation and their interpretation of it and what they thought it meant and what they believed as a result. And as I learned more and more about the book of Revelation, I realized that they were kind of missing the point. Because they made the book of Revelation a prediction about what is going to happen in the last days, and they missed the promises that God was making in the moment right then. So many people shy away from the book of Revelation because it seems so scary and so strange, and I find that a tragedy because they don't hear. "They shall hunger and thirst no more. The sun shall not scorch them by day. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." A wonderful message there. Changes the whole way you look at things. And see, that, I think, is the essence of Christianity. What do you think happens when your loved one is gone? Is it the end? Do you walk away and miss them forever? Or do they go to be with the Lamb to be comforted and experience the love and presence of Christ for eternity until you're together again? One of the most powerful things that can happen as a funeral is when you hear somebody, the husband or the wife or the father or the mother or the child, say, Bye for now. I'll see you soon. Because it totally changes the nature of the funeral and the separation that is about to happen. I've said this many times before, but if you have come across a scripture that doesn't seem to fit, it probably means you don't understand it right. Because as you begin to understand scripture properly, it starts to feed into other verses, and it all seems to come together. Some of the things that come to mind as I read Revelation is Paul's admonition, be prepared at all times to give an account for the hope that you have. When we as Christians show the hope that we have in the face of death, it makes the world take notice. And they realize there's something going on here that I don't understand and I need badly in this world in which we live. It brings to mind the words of Jesus as he's about to leave his disciples, and he turns to them and says, I go to the Father now, but I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. It changes the way you see the world. It changes the way you see life. And as I prayed this morning, I was thinking about that understanding that we have received some phenomenal blessings, haven't we? When we were cut off from God, Jesus came to restore a relationship with God. He chose to take the blame for everything. Wouldn't you love a friend that would just take the blame for everything? That's what Jesus promises to do. Is he says, it's all mine. And if you don't feel you have enough good works, I'll loan you mine. And I'll give you my grace. You start to think about that and you realize, I don't deserve that. I haven't earned that much. I don't think I've earned enough to receive what I've already received. Much less more. And Jesus goes, I know. That's why they call it love. As I have gone in ministry, I've been able to experience transitional moments like this that take your breath away sometimes. There was a father, a farmer, his name was John, and he had cancer and he was dying. And I was with him at the side of his bed, and he asked everybody to go away because he just wanted to ask me something and tell me something. And John turned to me and he says, Pastor, I never realized it, but you know, at the end, it's just you and Jesus. And if you're strangers, that's terrifying. So I began to talk with him and explain that it wasn't that terrifying, that Jesus had already known that he was going to be frightened, that Jesus already knew that he would not feel like he had a good enough relationship with Jesus to get to the other side, and gave it to him anyway. Another moment was of an experience that actually happened to a fellow pastor of mine, John Ricardo, and he lost somebody and he was having trouble adjusting to it, getting his head wrapped around it, and he said, Lord, could you just give me a glimpse, a word, something from them that would help me work through this? And the word that came to him is, oh, John, I wish you could see what I'm seeing now. It's more beautiful than anything I could have imagined. At that time, John was kind of wishing that they would come back. But he says, after hearing that, I said, why would I wish someone back from something that beautiful? Heaven must be like swimming in an endless ocean of love. Why would I take someone that I love and care for and pull them back from an experience like that? So as we think about the blessings that we've received, I want you to think about that song, I Can Only Imagine. No eye has seen, no mind conceived the blessings that the Lord has prepared for us. We can think about it, we can dream about it, and we can't come close to what they've already received. Don't you think that is a witness that the world needs today? The world needs to understand that the blessings that we have yet to receive can be greater than anything that we've ever dreamt. The world needs to understand that death does not get the final answer. The final word is they shall hunger and thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them for the soaring heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And in the end, they will be comforted. Revelation's not a scary book. The last book of the Bible teaches us that we will be comforted. And those that have already gone are comforted. Rest in that grace. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, it's a bittersweet day. We have fond memories of people that we truly loved. And there is a pain and a hole because they're not there anymore. But knowing that they're with you, knowing that they are blessed, knowing that they're swimming in an ocean of love, help us to get through today and gives us hope for tomorrow. Let us have faith in the one that loves us. And all God's people said,